Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 44 of the Playoff Push Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Dobbins, and today I'm joined by a very special guest, my good friend over at the Swinging for the Fences pod. Go check him out if you haven't already. George Sewell, how are we doing today, man?
Doing good, Jack. Happy to be on here. Thanks for doing this nice little collaborative effort right here. Talk some stripes and get right into it.
Of
Love it.
course, You got the jersey right behind you. You got the hat on.
Yeah.
I'm repping my college today, but
Penn
you're
State.
repping all the Yankees you need.
Yeah,
I actually
no college decision
got
yet
my
for me.
hat right here. It's like it's not on my head, but wait, I'm gonna switch it on my head real quick. There we
There
go.
you
We'll
go.
do it. We'll do it for the viewers. There we go. Yankees hat on my head now. Would you look at that? Alrighty. Holy cow. Where do we start, man? Do we start with Giancarlo and Stroman down in Somerset?
Yeah, definitely. I think we got to talk with the two elephants in the room. Both guys coming back. They're playing Somerset games, so the timetable is getting there. We don't have a clear picture yet on either or, but I think it is going to be soon, especially with Stroman. I think Stanton, he'll take a good amount of time just because of it's Stanton. He's so injury prone. His injury is a lot more severe than compared to like Jazz, who only played like two games in Somerset and then dipped. So he'll need some more times. I'm thinking Stroman though, one or two starts maybe up in Somerset, and then he's ready to go. So I definitely think we'll see him back. But that begs the question: is he going to start? I mean, obviously with his ego, with his personality,
Oh, most definitely.
he's going to put himself into the rotation. But are the Yankees going to go with like that big rotation, or are they going to put someone like Yarbrough into the bullpen, or are they going to go with a pretty big six-man rotation?
I don't know. I guess we'll see how it goes. But of course, Stroman definitely has had that ego so far this year. He's been,
Yeah.
trying to argue for his spot rather than, putting the performance out on the field. So I guess there's a lot when it comes down to that. But Stanton has been playing pretty well in Double A. I'm actually excited to see where he's going. The game I
Yeah.
went to, the first game of the Portland series, 2 for 3, 2 singles, 3 RBI, and a 4-pitch walk. But the 2 singles, one of them I think was 100.5, and I believe the other was 111 off the bat. So
That's Giancarlo Stanton.
he's smoking them. I mean, some of the longest singles I've seen in my life. The dude can't run, but we've always known that. But Stanton, he was hitting the ball hard. And, I think New York really needs him back, despite the fact, 10 guys over the league average in OPS still would lead the league, the AL in OPS if we remove Judge from the conversation. But why would you not want that bat back in the lineup? And something it does is if we get Stanton back, it opens the realm of putting Rice at catcher some games and giving Wells some rest. What do you think on that?
Yeah, definitely. I really like the option of moving Rice to his true natural position. He was brought up, he was drafted as a catcher. I think that still is where he's most comfortable. So definitely excited to see that. And I think the lineup is still missing a true number four hole power hitter to clean up the lineup. So definitely, I mean, we've had Goldschmidt in there a few games. I don't really think he fits the mold as well as Stanton does in terms of a four hole hitter. So really having Stanton come back, the lineup gets flow more. Not saying that Goldschmidt's been bad. I mean, he's been the best signing, in my opinion, in terms of value and production. He's been the best signing, but I would rather him maybe in the leadoff spot, maybe in the two hole and have Judge in the three. But I don't think I want him batting cleanup. I think I would rather have Stanton because that's how the lineup's built around.
The thing is, I don't even hate Goldie leading off.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think the lineup we should go with when Stanton comes back, Goldie leading off, then the two hole, I think we could flip around. We can either put Rice there or put Grisham there. I think it's one or the two. I think then we put Judge in the three, Stanton in the four, Belly in the
Work.
five.
Yeah.
And then we throw in Jazz, we throw in Volpe, and then whoever else we have playing on the day. But I think that's that core of Rice, Judge, Stanton, Belly in order will be a shredder later into the year,
Yeah.
especially if Rice keeps with what he's going like and
Yeah.
Stanton, goes back to the Stanton he was during the postseason last year. The sky's the limit for the offense.
Yeah, definitely. It works really well together. I mean, you're talking about making a modern day murderer's row. I know it's not like the legacy some of those guys had back in the 20s, but these guys, they're hitting the ball so well. Ben Rice, it's been such a pleasant surprise. I expected something pretty good. I did with Ben Rice, but the power that we've seen, out of Ben Rice. We didn't expect this. The dude put on so much muscle in the offseason. It's a clear-cut difference how hard he worked, all the lifting he did, and it's really translated into his game. He's a power hitter now.
Oh,
We
yeah.
didn't expect that out of Ben Rice. I sure didn't. So it's great to see him transform into this player. And in the time of need, with Stanton going down for this long, he's been great to help pick up the slack. So I think he's almost earned his spot. You know, definitely, if you said to me in the offseason they're considering taking Wells out of the lineup to have Ben Rice catch, I would have said, you're nuts. But he's played so well. He's earning himself a lineup spot, and this is a problem. It's a good problem to have, too many good hitters in the lineup. It's a good problem to have, but you gotta find out how you're gonna handle it. And Ben Rice, he's putting himself into the lineup. He's played that good.
Exactly. It's not a crazy statement. I actually got to interview Rice at spring training. I don't know if you remember that, but I
Yeah, I
asked
heard
him
that.
about that weight that he put on in muscle and how it was going to help him. And he, of course, talked about hard hit percentage, talked about launch angle, talked about, exit velocity and all that. Of course, we've seen astronomical tick ups, not only through his minor league progression, but through last year into this year. He's now hitting at the top values of the entire league. OPS plus of 124. Are you kidding me? It's ridiculous. I mean, he's came out of nowhere, really taken that first base or DH spot wherever the Yankees put him, and he is smashing the cover off the ball with 12 homers. I mean, he's doing his thing, man, and it's so impressive to see what he's doing as the fourth best hitter in this lineup.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's been, like I said, it's been a pleasant surprise. Didn't expect him to do this. Another guy, though, who's had the same conversation, it's Trent Grisham. He's balled. I know he's been cold the past couple games. He's been a little inconsistent, but he really has. So start of the season, he was kind of that pinch hitter guy. You know, he'll give a few guys days off. Maybe if we want to take Judge out in the eighth inning, have
And then he just
Grisham go in there.
sparked.
Yeah, like. He did the same thing Rice is doing. He's putting himself into the lineup. Both of these guys might make the All-Star team, Ben Rice and Trent Grisham. It's
Definitely.
crazy. Like, I did not expect this at all, especially not Trent Grisham. This is the dude who was scraps from the Padres in the Soto trade. This is the guy they didn't want. They didn't really care too much about. Neither did we. Didn't do that much last year. I don't know what happened with Trent Grisham in the offseason. What I don't know what were they feeding that guy, but man, he really turned a corner in terms of offensive production and is turning into one of the best center fielders in all of baseball. Again, he might make the All-Star team. He might start. He might be in the starting lineup for the All-Star team. That's how good Trent Grisham has performed.
Most definitely. I mean, Grisham, of course, as you said, salary relief from the Padres in that Soto trade. But Grisham, when he was traded from Milwaukee to San Diego before the
Huge.
2020 season, he put together a year actually very similar to this one. 123 OPS plus, then 129 now. He had 10 homers in 59 games. Now he has 13 in 58 games. The numbers are almost uncanny. Grisham has always been known as a defensive center fielder. However, he's shown that every once in a while he can put together a stellar offensive year, and that's what we're in right now. And him playing center field, what do you have? Three successful challenges yesterday?
I think
Two
so.
on
Yeah.
diving catches, and one when the runner tried to say that he was safe and he was
Yeah.
still gunned. It's like, not only is he an incredible outfielder, he's a smart outfielder. He knows, when to say that he made the play, when he didn't. Three successful challenges in the game is literally unfair for one player.
Yeah, and definitely, it's really like you said, 10 hitters above an average OPS plus. You can go up and down this whole lineup. It's all full of surprises. Paul Goldschmidt, there's another big offensive surprise. The dude's hitting about 330, and we gave him $12.5 million this offseason. Are you kidding me? Like he's been so unexpected. Cody Bellinger, I know he had an ice cold start to begin his season, but really, he's really
He's on a
performed now.
heater. He is
I
on an
know.
absolute shredder.
And it's all worked. The thing is, the lineup now blends so well together. It's going, we're passing the baton 1 through 9. It's just working so well. There's such good flow. And it's been great to see, and it's been full of surprises. Like, I did not expect this good of a lineup. Going into the season, I thought the pitching would lead. You know, and even
Exactly.
especially when we thought Cole was going to be healthy, I thought
Ugh.
no one's. Yeah, I know it
God
sucks,
rest
but
his soul.
yeah, him and Heal.
Oh
I
my
thought
gosh.
no one's hitting
Heal's
this.
hopefully coming back in a certain amount of time, right?
There hasn't been much
I thought I
said
saw
yet.
something that he was
He's
like a
starting
couple
to
months
throw,
out.
but he's not going to be in Somerset
Yeah.
just yet. Hopefully, though, he'll be back soon because it would be great to have him, his slider. I mean, he really impressed me last year, Luis
He
Heal.
was very, very good. If you ignore like the one Boston game, he was ridiculous.
And I mean, I've always been a big Luis Heal supporter because if you remember the season before his Tommy John, he got caught up. I think it was a little bit after the All-Star game, the Yankees called him up and he balled out. I mean, he was really good for the end of the second half, so I saw the potential, but then obviously got Tommy John, came back up, wasn't the same, worked, and then got his full time in the rotation last season, showed up, won American League Rookie of the Year. It's unfortunate it was a lat strain in his shoulder. Unfortunate that happened, but really excited to see him back in pinstripes. One of my favorite pitchers to watch on the Yankees.
Yeah, it looks like I just looked around and a few sources are saying that they expect him to be back after the break. So like the All-Star
Perfect.
break and he'll come back after the break. That's what I'm seeing on a lot of places. It's a lat injury. So we'll see how that goes. Weaver as well is something to keep an eye on. He'll be out for a minute, but he is going to be a big thing to keep an eye on when it comes to the bullpen. We did, reinstate Fernando Cruz and that's all. That's great. But now Jake Cousins is gone. And now we're bringing back up Scott Efros, a guy who we've had on the roster for like 3 years, pitched like two games. So the bullpen is now a big question mark until Weaver comes back to see if they can hold leads, especially in such a competitive division with Boston and Tampa. Baltimore fell off a cliff. We don't talk about them. But like, and still, the schedule outside of the division is still ridiculously hard. So this bullpen's going to be something we need to keep an eye on, see how it progresses until Weaver does return. But again, the starting rotation has been playing out of their minds. I mean, Max Fried, I mean, we expected him to be great. Did we expect him to be this great? A
Oh, I didn't expect him to have a
1.84
sub
into
two
mid-June?
ERA. Like,
Like, are
didn't
you
expect
kidding
this at
me?
all. I expected this maybe from Cole if he was healthy, but Max Fried, he might win American League Cy Young. I did not expect this at all. Compound that with the Carlos Rodon success.
Boom, boom, boom,
Huge.
boom.
I'm happy. I'm licking my chops. This looks so good. And I said in the offseason, the X factor for the Yankees this season, it's Carlos Rodon. You know, we're paying this guy a boatload. He has a huge contract, Carlos Rodon. And the first few years of that of his deal did not perform at all. Did not look good. But really came back this year. He's pitching like we're paying him to. That four-seamer has been electrifying this season. And Carlos Rodon is back to that peak San Fran Rodon we saw in the Bay Area, that Shy City Rodon
Oh,
we
yeah.
saw in Chicago. He's back. He's been feeling it. Probably going to be an all-star too, joining alongside Max Fried. So really happy with the success. They've both probably been top 10 starting pitchers this season, which has been great. It really has. It's been huge because we needed that. We lost Cole and Heal. We needed our rotation. Carlos Rodon, last year, I called him a coin flip. You don't know if he's going to be on his A game
Exactly.
or it's 50-50. This
He'll
year,
either throw six innings of one run ball or 3 innings of 7 run ball, and there's no in between.
he's been a double-sided penny. He's been legit. You've known what you're getting out of Carlos Rodon. He's been consistent. That's the big word we've been looking for out of Carlos Rodon. Could not be happier for my guy. And he's been really, really effective in a time of need with this rotation.
And the thing about Rodon is that, his ERA is great and all that. He's fifth in the league in strikeouts. He's at 103, only behind names Mackenzie Gore, Garrett Crochet, Chris Sale, and the reigning American League Cy Young, Tarik Skubal. Are we serious?
Great company.
Like, holy cow, man, Rodon. But another guy who came in as a spark plug, let's ignore his last start against Boston. It didn't happen. Ryan Yarbrough.
Yarbrough.
Oh my God. Ignoring his last start, his first five. with
Shut
the
down the
Yankees. He had like
Dodgers.
an ERA of 2.7 in his first five Yankee starts.
Yeah. Shut down the Dodgers. I mean, such a pleasant surprise. I mean, when I saw that the notification, oh, Yankees sign lefty Ryan Yarbrough, I'm like, okay, whatever. Just toss it to the side. Then I see he's starting. I'm like, oh,
That's
Yarbrough
great.
gives us about, I think it's like 5 innings pitched. But I think the start that really changed me the way I saw Yarbrough was the start in Anaheim against the
Bingo.
Angels. He
That
went
was
like 7
ridiculous.
innings. He was so good. He kind of what he reminds me of is prime Nestor Cortez. That's what
Yes.
I see out of Ryan Yarbrough.
Yes.
You know, won't kill you with velocity, but the location and the movement is next level coming out of that left-hand side. Funky windup, a little bit of a different arm slot too. And that's who he reminds me of, that peak 2021, 2022 Nestor Cortez. That's just what I see in him. And it's been great to see. Great surprise. And he's been very beneficial. Again, time of need in the rotation. Guys need to step up. Ryan Yarbrough, I got to tip my cap to you. You really have stepped up in a big time.
Yeah, we need to really talk about that Los Angeles start. Six innings, two hits, one run, one walk, seven
Is
strikeouts.
this Angels or
That was Anaheim. That
Dodgers?
was Anaheim.
Anaheim,
Yeah,
gotcha.
and then the following game against the Dodgers, six innings, four hits, one run, no walks, five Ks. So you can argue that that was an even better start.
Yeah.
Despite allowing two more hits, he didn't walk, and you actually know you probably can't. Actually, no, because the Dodgers are such a better team.
Yeah,
You have to
he
factor
went
that in.
arguably the best lineup in base. Actually, I think it's New York, but definitely probably the best National League lineup he went against, and he
Most
shut them
definitely.
down.
He did. We just need him to bounce back from this last start against Boston. We don't talk about it, but the crazy thing is his next start is, I think, tomorrow
In
against
Boston, yeah,
Boston.
at Fenway.
Uh-oh. We got to hope he can, learn from what he did the first time and rekindle what he had before the second time. But of course, Yankees going back to Boston the second time in a week that we've played the Red Sox. What do you think heading into this, especially with Roman Anthony called up and Marcelo Meyer as hot as he's ever been in the majors?
Yeah, definitely the Red Sox, they're a scrappy team. You know, they beat you up a little bit if you're not paying attention. Won't kill you with like the moon shots and everything, but they hit the big doubles. They go gap to gap, go line to line. Really have to be cautious of that offense. 1 through 9, lots of sneaky good hitters, lots of guys with surprise pop that you really have to keep an eye on. So as a pitcher, you really have to focus up on your scouting report, see what's going on there, and that's gonna be the big thing. You know, and the problem is there's so much young talent, so much unknown with the Red Sox. Major League pitching hasn't really adapted to them yet, just to say, especially guys like Roman Anthony, who's only like a
Oh, yeah.
week into his MLB career. But
Exactly.
we'll see what happens. What do we have? We have Yarbrough. Do we have
No, Warren's tonight in the final
Warren?
game against Kansas City.
Nah, for Fenway, who do we have? Who we have for
It's
Boston?
Yarbrough, I think Fried.
Rodon? Schmidt dealt against Kansas City, so it's not him. Is it Warren?
No, Warren's tonight.
Warren's tonight. Oh yeah, my bad,
So
my bad.
I would guess Fried and Carlos, but I don't even know if they've named starters. I feel like I haven't heard them naming starters. I know the Red Sox are throwing Crochet, Dobbins, and Bayo, but I don't think I've seen our starters quite yet.
All right,
I
we'll
think
see.
tonight's Warren versus Lugo.
Okay, that's not that. That's a pretty good matchup. It's not terrible. Will Warren, the big thing with him, he just needs to be consistent, you
Yeah.
know? Like he has these good, I mean, his strikeout numbers are very good. He gets a lot of swing and miss, but he just needs to avoid the big blast. He needs to avoid the big 3-run shot, needs to avoid the big inning, the big fifth inning where the opposing offense really comes to life. That's what he needs to find out to avoid and really put together these bright spots. You know, he has good starts and then he has not good starts. It's like a seesaw, goes back and forth, back and
Exactly.
forth. Him and Clark Schmidt, they're both in the same boat in that department. Hopefully, though, Clark Schmidt dealing last night, hopefully that's a sign of what's to come. And I hope the same can be said for Will Warren. because he's got great stuff,
Yeah,
great
Warren,
potential.
another guy who I interviewed in spring training, what I talked about with him in Port Charlotte was his confidence in his pitches. And he seemed very confident in spring training. The numbers showed he was dealing, lighting up the radar gun, breaking stuff, was moving perfectly. Then he gets back up to the majors, and he actually starts out the year pretty nicely, if I recall.
Yeah, you
Like
did.
a few 2-run starts, a few no-run starts. And then the last two games against LA and Boston, mind you, very good teams, he just got crushed.
Yeah.
And it looks like now his confidence in his pitches are at an all-time low. He needs to bounce back tonight so that he can get back to who he was to begin the year, because he really started out incredibly, absolutely better than he did last year. But he was putting together nice starts, faced a couple tough teams, down on himself. Now he faces Kansas City, another hard team, especially on the offensive side of the ball with Bobby Witt and Vinny Pasquinito and all these other guys. So we just have to see what he does tonight and if he can turn the year around to help bolster the rotation even more than it already is.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's got great potential. He's got great stuff. I really do see why the front office said hands off to any potential trades this offseason. They weren't willing to deal Warren away. And now it's kind of look, I could see why they wouldn't do that. I mean, the dude's got great potential. He's got to just figure it out. He has to find ways to avoid, like I said, that big inning, that big homer. And he's good. He's good. He's got
He's
major league
fine.
stuff. Major league, he has a major leaguer arsenal. He's ready to go. He's got good spin rate. He's got good pitches. He just needs to piece it together, and that's the thing. He's learning. He's still young. He's still learning, but he's got the pieces. He's just got to put the puzzle together.
Exactly. But a guy who's helping in the bullpen lock those games up, Tim Hill, a guy who we picked up from waivers off of the worst team in baseball history last year, got cracked by the White Sox. I mean, I got cracked while he on the White Sox last year, and then we take him from Chicago off waivers. Now 3-1 with a 2.86 so far this year. He's helping, relieve some of the stuff when Weaver's been out, and is our second best guy in the pen even when Weaver's healthy. What do you think about Tim Hill and his future as a Yankee?
Listen, Matt Blake can really transform relievers.
Matt Blake is a wizard.
Yeah, like you could go, the list goes on. Tim Hill is just another case of Matt Blake doing his thing. And having a really good lefty like Tim Hill, it's been great because if Tim Hill isn't good, who's our go-to lefty? That's the thing. Tim Hill's been our go-to southpaw out of the bullpen that we needed. Another big surprise. So this team's full of surprises, but it's been great to see. I've just liked what I've seen. His confidence is great. I mean, he's going up again in big spots, high leverage spots. Tim Hill doesn't seem to break a sweat. He's got that great sidearm, submarine arm slot that we all love to watch from the left side, and he's effective. He really is. He gets the big out. So I hope he could carry that into hopefully the postseason and really be that's one thing we missed last year. We missed the
Putting Nestor
shutdown.
Cortez in over Tim Hill in game one to face Freddie
Even just
Freeman.
the full season though, we missed a shutdown lefty out of the pen. And if he could become that, if he could turn into that, that's perfect. That's what the team, one of the things the team was missing. And pitching is what wins you championships in baseball. You need a good rotation, but you need a really good bullpen, a rock solid bullpen. If you look at the Yankees, it's a little shaky. There's guys like Mark Leiter Jr. I don't know what I'm getting out of you. I don't. Are you going to be locked down? Or are you going to be bad,
He's been
for
painfully
loss of better
mediocre all
words?
year.
Yeah. It's been up and down.
But a guy who's been doing really well out of nowhere, Yerry De Los Santos, a guy who we picked up from Pittsburgh, 17 innings, so not the biggest sample size you've ever seen, but a
No.
2.16 ERA in those 17 innings, helping be the third guy in that pen and on the production side behind Weaver and Hill. But he's came out of nowhere. He was so mediocre with Pittsburgh, and then we get him, and all of a sudden, I mean, he's throwing sub 2-2 baseball.
Matt Blake. It's all Matt Blake.
Oh, it is indeed. That's what I really hope Cruz can tap into Matt Blake, because he has all the potential in the world. Again, has had a few games where it's been a bit rocky, but he
Yeah.
has, again, just all the stuff necessary to make it work.
Yeah, the dude throws a forkball. Who still throws that in baseball? Like he has the pieces. That's one of the reasons why they traded for him out of Cincy, they saw the stuff, they saw the spin rate numbers with which were off the charts, and they wanted him. They saw him as a work in progress. They knew what they were getting into, and they're just hoping, and I'm hoping as well, that Matt Blake could work your magic because this kid's got so much talent. He really does. He is unbelievable. The action he gets out of his pitches is unbelievable. Really hoping, especially with Weaver being out for a while, Fernando Cruz is someone you're going to need to turn to. Mark Leiter, someone you're going to need to turn to. So, time of need again. Guys get it injured, just part of the game. It sucks, especially with the closer Luke Weaver going down. But how about Devin Williams, man? Ever since being
Whew.
moved out of the closer role, he's been back,
He has been.
know?
He's, of course, started out as bad as
Yeah,
you could
very
possibly
rocky.
imagine. But his last few
That was
games have
bad.
actually been, relatively productive.
Yeah.
Hasn't allowed a run in the month of June so far. Actually, no, I think he allowed one against Cleveland.
Yeah.
But
But
only one run in the month of June. It was like, what, probably 4 or 5 times he's been called out of the pen.
yeah. Yeah,
We
I
take
mean, it
that. We
looks
take
like he's
that.
back. He needed to get his feet wet. And if you look at the stats of Devin Williams, if you go month by month, not saying that his whole career he's been this bad to start every season, but he hasn't been locked down in the first 2 months of every season. It's always been like a 3.9 ERA, which is really bad for a closer when you're only pitching one inning. But the trend just dives down, the ERA just drops off a cliff, which is great to see. And hopefully the Yankees can feed into that, and hopefully he could just get back to his old ways. The dude was arguably the best closer in all of baseball. That airbender
Exactly.
changeup, it looks like it defies the laws of physics.
It's
It's
not
so
real. It's not
nasty.
a real
It's
pitch.
gross. I mean, I can't explain it. I mean, physics aren't my thing, but I just don't.
It doesn't
I
look
can't explain the
possible.
motion.
It looks like someone like drew the path it takes, like with a
Yeah.
marker.
Yeah, so if he could get it there, he's like the Yankees don't have bad pitchers. They just don't have consistent pitchers. Fernando Cruz, Devin Williams, Mark Leiter, you got the stuff. You got the talent. You have the potential. You have to apply that to the games now. You have to be locked down. The problem is you put these guys into some really high leverage situation where it's make or break, do or die. So it looks a lot worse when they come out on the bad end of things, but they haven't been as bad, to say the least, this season. Hoping for that, really, because we have the potential to be arguably the best bullpen in baseball.
Definitely.
This rotation probably has the most talent in all of baseball. It's just a matter of putting it together. Hopefully, by the time we get to the All-Star break, we found it out and we're ready to go as the dog days of summer start to come upon us. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the team comes together, reconfigures a little bit. Big G coming back, Stroh
Oh,
coming
yeah.
back. Let's see what we got going for us.
Speaking of the All-Star break, it is petrifying the three series we have leading into the break. It's the Cubs, the Mariners, and the Mets. So what I'm saying is we need to take full advantage of every series we have throughout the rest of June. It's a relatively easy schedule for the remainder of the month. We have one final game against KC tonight. We'll be done by the time this drops. But we have the Red Sox, the Angels, the Orioles, the Reds, the A's, and the Jays. None of those teams are too great
Yeah.
at all. I mean, I guess the biggest threat of those is what, Cincinnati?
Cincinnati or Toronto,
I
I would
guess.
say. Yeah, but
But this is the time when we need to take charge. We need to go on like an 800 win percentage rip for the
yeah.
rest of the month. Just need to take as many games as we can because we know we're not going to be, facing these teams as easy in a row, probably the rest of the year, especially heading into the break and coming out of it, because immediately after the break, we have Atlanta, Toronto, Philadelphia. So again, as hard as it is
That's
going in,
good.
it's just as hard coming out of the break. So we need to take every win we get in this little remainder of the June stretch because we need it down the stretch.
Yeah. Yeah, and you put the nail right on the head. Hopefully by time though we get to the end of the All-Star break, we have our guys back. We have the fully healthy team minus Cole. We have Hill ready to go. We have Big G ready to go. Hopefully Strowman figures it out. Hopefully Devin's figured it out. Hopefully Warren's figured it out. And hopefully we're ready to go into the hot months of summer when it really starts to matter. Hopefully we'll be firing on all cylinders. We, like I said, we have the potential. Just gotta apply. We have to have it translate into the games.
Yeah, based on, of course, excluding the guys who are out for the year, excluding Cole and Cabrera, I mean, everyone else is expected to be back coming out of the All-Star break. Hill, Weaver, Stanton, Strowman, Cousins, Chisholm, they're all ex Chisholm should be back in the next few days, I hope.
Yeah.
But everyone is expected to be back heading into the second half, as well as just the end of June. The only guy I mentioned who is not expected to be back by June is Jake Cousins, who's expected to be, exactly out of the break. But that's a lot of our injuries, and most of the ones that are not for the year guaranteed, like Cole and Cabrera. But these injuries need to heal. We need to take advantage of the next month, and the hitting needs to keep doing their thing because they are ripping the cover off the baseball, making New York so proud, showing why we need to run this back, man.
Yeah, definitely do. Still have a bad taste in my mouth from the Dodgers series last year.
Heartbreak.
Yeah, it was rough. Definitely rough.
The craziest part is heading into the postseason, we have another relatively fine stretch. We have Minnesota, Baltimore, Chicago, White Sox, and then Baltimore again.
Yeah, that's fine.
So that's
Play it
like
worse.
12 free games because the Orioles stink this year and the White Sox stink, and we own the Twins. They're not a bad team. It's just we've had their number for what, a decade?
Yeah.
So we should not be too worried about any of that. But that stretch from September 15th until September 28th in the last day of the regular season, that sounds like 12 or 13 free wins to me, right?
Yeah, definitely. And that would be huge. Have a high momentum, high vibes, great morale going into the postseason. Definitely don't want to be kicking yourselves after you've lost to the White Sox and the Orioles. So
Exactly.
definitely have that momentum going into the postseason, all ready to go. Hopefully come into the postseason with an AL East title. Let's get it, man. Let's run it back. Let's hoist up the trophy this year, man. I'm hungry.
We need
I'm
to.
ready
We
for it.
need to. Looking like June's going to be one of our easiest months. July, one of, if not our hardest. Yankees need to take advantage of the next few weeks and then lead that into the hard stretch and then finish out the season gliding. Hitting's doing their thing. Pitching is almost close to doing their thing. Just need, Warren and, the other guys to upgrade their game a little bit, get the bullpen locked down once again. But that's your little Yankees summary. And that's going to do it here for episode number 44 of the Playoff Push Podcast. A little look into the New York Yankees as they head into tonight, 41 and 25, hopefully 42 and 25 when this drops. But that's how we're doing. That's how it's going, George. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jack. It was great. Really enjoyed doing this nice pod with you. Shout out to Jack, and yeah, looking forward to it.
And that's going to be it here. Episode 44, Reggie Jackson. In the books, I'm your host, Jack Dobbins, signing off. Let's go, Yankees.
Let's go.